Welcome to the Valley Brook Community Church podcast, and thank you for joining us online today. You're about to hear a message from our current series, Holy Moments. This is our 2025 Christmas series and digs into the times where we are faced with moments bigger than ourselves. To watch any of our previous messages or find all listening platforms, we encourage you to visit www.valleybrook.cc/on-demand. Enjoy!
Series called Holy Moments, and each week we're going to have somebody read the scripture for the Sunday, and then we're going to have a testimony. So I'm going to invite Brittany Knighton to come up. She's going to read to us from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 1.
This is how Jesus the Messiah was born. His mother Mary was engaged to be married to Joseph. But before the marriage took place, while she was still a virgin, she became pregnant through the power of the Holy Spirit. Joseph, to whom she was engaged, was a righteous man and did not want to disgrace her publicly, so he decided to break the engagement quietly. As he considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream. "Joseph, son of David," the angel said, "do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife, for the child within her was conceived by the Holy Spirit. And she will have a son, and you are to name him Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins." All of this occurred to fulfill the Lord's message through his prophet. "Look, the virgin will conceive a child. She will give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God is with us." When Joseph woke up, he did as the angel of the Lord commanded. It took Mary as his wife.
Now I'm going to invite Jeff Gridley to come up and share his testimony.
It's good to be in the house of the Lord this morning. Praise God. I just want to share a little bit of, this was years ago in my life, a day where I really didn't want to be where I was. But it was a beautiful rainy day. I stood in a church parking lot as the blue sky was giving way to dark clouds rolling in. The group I had come to meet was discussing canceling the outreach to Stowe Village, one of Hartford's housing projects. I stood silently as I already didn't want to be there, and I was fighting everything within me to stay. I had good reason not to want to go. I understood all too well the dangers in the housing projects. I was familiar with them as I used to buy drugs and had been using drugs for 15 years. I had been in a lot of fights. I wasn't afraid to fight. I wasn't afraid to go into the projects. But here I stood with what looked to me like a bunch of sheep headed for their slaughter. The only thing keeping me there was the words of a prayer I had prayed just a few months earlier, still burning in my heart. While high on heroin, I watched an addict stick a needle in his arm. It was nothing I hadn't seen many times before, but this time was different. The presence of God had filled the car. And in his presence, I didn't want to be high. I didn't want to be what I had become. I cried out, "God, get me out of here. I'll go wherever you want and do whatever you want. I'll even go to the projects and tell people about Jesus," because that was like the worst thing I could think of having to do. Suddenly, I was no longer high. My mind was clear like it had never been before. That day in my life, Jesus came in and changed my life and set me free. Miraculously, the drug addict that was in my car, God took out instantly. And that's a story for another day. Yet, here I was, just a few months later, feeling like a huge weight had been lifted off of me when the group decided to cancel the outreach. all but one young man, Philip, who I'd only met a few times, spoke up saying, "I don't care what you all do, I'm going, and I know Jeff is coming with me. And anyone else is welcome to join us." Fast forward, I find myself walking with Philip up the main street into the housing project. From across the street, a group of young men called out, "Hey, what you white boys doing up here?" Funny thing, I was thinking the same thing myself. But not Philip. Crossing the street, walking towards them, he said, "We are here to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ." Their response was, "We don't have time for that, but go talk to Harry. He needs to hear it. Hey, Harry, these guys want to talk to you." So we went, shared the gospel with Harry. He then asked us if we could come to his grandmother's apartment. She was a believer, but couldn't get out to church anymore. She sat in the only chair in the living room, and the only other piece of furniture in the room was a table with a well-worn Bible on it. We grabbed a few kitchen chairs and sat with her, fellowshipping and praying for the next hour. She then asked if we would go to her daughter's house. Harry, still with us, volunteered to show us the way to his aunt's apartment. As we walked in the rain to the apartment, we met group after group and just hung out with them under the overhangs, you know, as God opened the doors to share about his love and his goodness. Harry's aunt was not a believer, but was open to listening and allowing us to pray with her. And it seemed she enjoyed our company. Upon leaving that apartment, we were invited to another apartment. And, you know, this went from one apartment to the other. And one thing, when you're in the projects buying drugs, you never go in an apartment. You never go in the hallways, and you never go in the alleys. But here I was, not even thinking about it, going from one to the other. I don't know where the time went that day, but the rain had stopped and night had fallen on Stowe Village. Another thing in the projects, you always get out before sunset. But night had fallen on Stowe Village. I found myself at peace, walking out with my new friend Philip, a new love and compassion for the residents of Stowe Village, and a new understanding of the loving and merciful God whom I was so reluctant to serve earlier that day.
We've already heard two stories of what I would call holy moments of obedience. You know, the Bible has these stories that we always read around the birth of Jesus, and they're filled with holy moments. And this is what I would describe a holy moment is. It's one of those times in a person's life when they take a step of faith toward God. It may be a moment when that person decides to obey God, like Jeff did. It may be a moment when a person has an undeniable encounter with God that changes the way they live, the way they see life. A holy moment is any time in a person's faith, when a person's faith in God becomes more real than it was the moment it was before. Holy moments are recognizable because when you experience one, you may have a new awareness that God allows you to see things differently. You may have a new outlook on life. You may live differently from that day forward. And so this morning, I want to dig into that passage that Brittany read from the Gospel of Matthew. You know, Matthew wrote that gospel so we would understand Jesus' origin. So we would understand how the birth of the Messiah came about. There's some hints in there. I'm not going to get into that today, but I will share just a couple of cookie crumbs. He tells us this is how the Messiah was born. So there's one of them. He tells us that Joseph, his stepdad, was a son of David. So that puts Jesus in the line of King David. Little cookie crumbs like that. But the first thing that we see in that passage that Brittany read this morning is that Matthew tells us that Mary and Joseph were engaged. They were going to be married. And it's important for us to understand engagement in first century Israel. It's a lot different than it is in 2025. Now, this is going to sound pretty unromantic, okay? But first century Jewish marriages, they weren't about falling in love. They were about arrangements that were of mutual benefit for both families. They were usually arranged by the fathers of the bride and of the groom, and it would begin with a betrothal or an engagement. This was basically an arranged marriage. The bride's and the groom's feelings about the marriage were usually not taken into consideration. It's very possible, this is going to blow your mind, it's very possible that the bride and the groom had never met each other before the engagement. So in this culture, a groom's father would give a financial gift. Some people would call it a bride price, but that was to negotiate the betrothal. And then the groom would also give a gift to the bride, which would become part of the property that she brought into the marriage. And a good father, by the way, was expected to give some, if not all, of that money to his daughter for the marriage. Now, during the betrothal period, it was customary that the groom-to-be would set about preparing either a room in his parents' house or an addition to his parents' house to get ready, because when they got married, they would come and live with his family. Now, here's something we also need to know. In a Jewish betrothal, an important part of this process, and which was as binding as marriage itself, was that those initiating the betrothal, and then they would bring witnesses in, would more than likely actually sign a marriage contract. So think that through. So if in the future, if one or both of the parties wished to end the betrothal, they would actually be required to get a divorce, even though they weren't married. Now, I tell all that to you because it gives you some insight into the passage that we see from the Gospel of Matthew. Now, obviously, we already know about this story. We know that Mary is pregnant by the Holy Spirit, and you know, we can only imagine what that conversation went like when Mary went to tell Joseph that she was pregnant by the Holy Spirit. I can imagine she was afraid. I can imagine that Joseph was shocked, that there was disbelief, possibly anger, sadness, embarrassment, and a whole wealth of other emotions. Mary had to be afraid to tell Joseph what had happened to her because she must have been concerned about what his reaction was, and obviously we know his reaction, so we can assume that she was devastated. Think about it. If you've ever been betrayed by somebody, you understand a little bit of Joseph's emotions, his shock, his disbelief, his anger, his sadness. Obviously, he assumed that his fiancée had been unfaithful. But it's interesting what we read about Joseph. As hurt as he was, as devastated as he was not a vindictive person. Though he was crushed, he had no desire to crush Mary. No desire to embarrass her, no desire to ruin her reputation or her life. And the scriptures tell us that. They tell us that he decided to break off the engagement quietly as would have been possible. Because think about this. They were both from Nazareth. The things that we know about Nazareth was that it was a small town. Everybody would have known that they were betrothed. Everyone would have known and that he was preparing a place for he and his wife to live in their parents' house. And so if he broke this off, even though he was doing it quietly, didn't want to embarrass her, there would have been a public nature to it. There would have been disgrace. There would have been embarrassment. There would have been shame. And there would be questions, obviously, as she began to show with her pregnancy. It would have been an embarrassment for both of them because they would have assumed either she had been unfaithful or that they had not maintained their purity before marriage. But before he makes that decision, the final decision to divorce Mary, we read that he had a supernatural experience with God. He had a dream where an angel appeared to him while he was sleeping. And in that dream, the Lord addressed specifically how Mary had become pregnant. The angel told him to go ahead and marry her. And because the angel told her this, he said, you know, Mary is telling the truth. She has not been unfaithful. God has done this. The pregnancy was done by the power of the Holy Spirit. And so the angel tells him to marry her, to take this child as his son. And he says, and I want you to name him Jesus. And we know that Jesus means God will save his people from his sins. And to help Joseph see this whole vision of what was taking place, he reveals to him the prophecy from the book of Isaiah that said that the Messiah would be called Emmanuel, meaning God with us. Now, as that story wraps up, it really concludes pretty matter-of-factly, doesn't it? It just says, and when Joseph woke up, he did as the angel said and commanded, and he took Mary as his wife, and we don't get much else. But I want us just to think for a moment, and this is just us imagining again what that conversation would have been like when Joseph went to Mary and said he had changed his mind. I can imagine him saying, yeah, Mary, I'm sorry. I'm sorry I didn't believe you. I believe you now. God spoke to me in my dream last night. He told me that you were telling me the truth. He told me this child was from the Holy Spirit. He told me this child of ours would be special, that he would be a fulfillment of the prophecy about the Messiah that we've so longed for. And he told me that we're supposed to name him Jesus because he'll save us from our sins. And now Mary, he probably went on and said, we need to be prepared. We need to be prepared about how people are going to look at us, how they're going to treat us, what they're going to say. It's not going to be easy. They're going to think we sinned. They're going to think that we slept together before we were married. They're going to talk about us. They're going to shame us. They're going to call our son names. But I want you to know, Mary, I believe you. I believe that God has chosen us. And so I know we can do this. Again, those are just my thoughts. But this was a holy moment for Joseph. When he found himself in a difficult situation, and remember, I pointed out, it's going to be difficult on either side. Whether he chose to divorce or whether he chose to follow what the angel said, he probably wished he was in this situation that he wasn't in, but he chose to obey God. Jeff, I appreciate that you shared that you chose to obey God in a difficult situation. I suspect many of you could also share your stories, and I think they're holy moments. I really do, when you chose to obey God. Let's be honest. Obedience is not a popular topic, but it's something that comes up a lot in Scripture. The Apostle Paul reminds us about Jesus and his obedience to God. I want to read to you from the book of Philippians. This is what the Apostle Paul writes. Speaking about Jesus, though he was God, he did not think of equality with God as something to cling to. Instead, he gave up his divine privileges. He took the humble position of a slave and was born as a human being. When he appeared in human form, he humbled himself in obedience to God and died a criminal's death on a cross. Now, if you're saying, well, yeah, but he's the Son of God. He's divine. It was easy for Jesus, the Son of God, to be obedient. I would say, was it? And the reason I would say that is I want to point out that we see in Scripture that Jesus clearly wrestled with the obedience to God's calling. to be the Savior of the world. The Bible shows the internal struggle that he had when he was in the Garden of Gethsemane before he was crucified, just hours before his life was going to be completely turned upside down. This is what he prayed. Father, if you are willing, please take this cup of suffering away from me. Yet, I want your will to be done, not mine. Jesus chose to be obedient unto death for our sake, for the sake of the entire world, whether or not the world would embrace him and believe in him. Now, I want to go back to what Paul wrote about Jesus in the book of Philippians. While he was talking about how obedient Jesus was to follow God's plan, Paul was actually telling Christ followers to follow Jesus' own example of obedience. Let me read the verse before it with all the others. You must have the same attitude that Christ Jesus had. You must have the same attitude that Christ Jesus had. Though he was God, he did not think of equality with God as something to cling to. Instead, he gave up his divine privilege. He took the humble position of a slave and was born as a human being. When he appeared in human form, he humbled himself in obedience to God and died a criminal's death on a cross. Well, we can't give up our divine nature because we don't have it. But we can give up our will and we can be obedient to God. And that's what we're called to do. Jesus calls every single man and woman who believes in him to follow him in obedience, to reject the ways of the world, to reject the directions and positions and the politics of humankind, and to follow Jesus and lean into following him. I'm going to share a couple of verses that come from the mouth of Jesus to us, to those of us who are followers. Here's the first one. If any of you wants to be my follower, you must give up your own way, take up your cross, and follow me. That's a call to obedience. At another time, Jesus said, if you love me, obey my commandments. Do you love Jesus? If you love him, you have to obey his commandments. And then I'll close with one more scripture. It's a question that Jesus asked. Maybe he asks this question to us also. He said, why do you keep on saying that I am your Lord when you refuse to do what I say? Look, I'm not trying to hammer us with obedience. I'm not trying to hammer obedience into any of us, but I want us to remind you that the one who was obedient unto death for our salvation calls us to obey him. And every time we choose to obey him, it's a holy moment. It's not about obedience for obedience' sake. It's choosing to obey Jesus and God's will for us. When we choose to obey the teachings of Jesus rather than obeying our own will, that's a holy moment in each of our lives. As I prepared for this message, I couldn't help but reflect on my own choices over the 40 years of following Jesus. Not long after I started following Jesus, I was a 19-year-old in college, and I was tempted to disobey Jesus in a way that honestly it would have changed the direction of my life forever if I had done it. And my boss, not a believer, saw what I was doing, and he chewed me out. It changed the direction of my life. I look back on that, and honestly, what he did feels like more of a holy moment than my choice, but he woke me up. He woke me up to what I was thinking of doing. I remember 27 years ago when Cynthia and I were in the Twin Cities of Minnesota. I was pastoring a church. I'd been there for 8 years. We were happy. We were comfortable. We had tons of friends, and We began to sense that God was calling us to start a church to reach people that were not followers of Jesus. And we talked about it a lot. I studied what that might look like. And I remember the day that we got down on our knees because we were convinced that God was calling us. And this was a holy moment. And I don't say this to brag, but I just wanted to share you an insight. It was a holy moment. We said, God, we'll go wherever you want us to go. We'll do whatever you want us to do to reach people for Christ. We'll start a church wherever it is. And a year later, here we are in Connecticut. As I look back on my life in full transparency, I have not always obeyed God. I am a sinful person, and there have been many times when I have not obeyed God, times when I have sinned, times when I knew what God wanted me to do, and I didn't want to do it, and I didn't do it. The same, I believe, is true for all of us. When I've recognized that disobedience, I've confessed it as sin and asked for forgiveness. And candidly, I'm sure that for the rest of my days, God will show me places where I have disobeyed him. And I want to be faithful and repent and ask for forgiveness. So listen, one of the challenges of preaching about obeying God is that it may sound like I'm saying that following Jesus is about following rules. That is the farthest thing from my mind. Following Jesus is about being in a relationship. And so this story that we read, that Brittany read to us from the Gospel of Matthew, it puts a picture of what I'm talking about. Because Joseph and Mary were in a relationship to be engaged. And if you've ever been engaged, if you've ever been in a relationship like that, you know that there's an understanding in that relationship. That you are making a commitment to that person. That you're making a commitment to be faithful to that person. And so that relationship commitment, that obedience that is expected, is palpable. And so when we talk about obedience to God, it's not about following rules. It's about being in a relationship with God. And as we follow him, we want to be faithful to him. That's why when you read the Old Testament, there's so much about Israel being adulterous in their relationship with God. Unfaithful. When we're faithful to God, when we're faithful to Jesus, we're obedient to him. So this story reminds us of that. So when we decide to follow Jesus, we didn't enter into a commitment to follow a list of rules. We entered into a relationship where he expects us to be faithful. He has been faithful to us and always will. And so it's a mutual relationship of faithfulness. Thankfully, when we do make mistakes, because we will, that's the nature of being human, we can ask for forgiveness. And he's faithful. He will forgive us. He'll purify us from our unrighteousness. So today we've looked at some stories about holy moments. Joseph's story, Jeff's story. I've shared a little bit of my story. He calls us to obey him. Dr. James A. Kowalski wrote this: to follow God obediently requires believing that what is in store for all of us is bigger and better than our own illusions of control and power. I believe that God has something bigger and better for each of us. But we need to follow his son, Jesus Christ, our Savior, obediently and step into those moments, those holy moments of obedience. So I'm going to invite the worship team to come up, but don't be distracted by them coming up because I want to ask you some pointed questions for you to think about. So maybe you're in here today and you've never entered into that relationship with Jesus for one reason or another. You've just said, well, I understand it intellectually, but I've never done that. So maybe today, your moment, your holy moment of obedience, is to finally say, okay, Jesus, I believe in you and I want to follow you. And if that's you, I'm going to give you the opportunity to do that in just a moment. Maybe you've already told Jesus that you believe in him and you are following him, but you've never taken what Scripture seems to tell us is one of those first steps of obedience, and that's the step of being baptized. The choice to being baptized is a choice to obey Jesus' teaching. Remember, he said to go out to all the world and teach them to obey my commandments and baptize them in the name of God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. If that's your holy moment, we'd love to talk to you to help you take that step of obedience. Maybe your step of holy obedience really is in some other area, getting at what it means to be a follower of Jesus. Maybe you're not in community with other followers of Jesus. Maybe it's your time to take the step to join one of our life groups at Valley Brook. Maybe you wrestle with being generous, giving to God. Maybe God's calling you to trust him by giving financially to God through the church. Maybe that's your step of obedience. Maybe your step of holy obedience is in the area of sexual purity. Or maybe it's the way you talk to people or about people. I don't know what it is. But I'm going to give everybody a moment to tell him that you want to take a step of holy obedience. And so, as we do, I'm going to begin that time to let anybody who wants to tell Jesus they want to believe in him and follow him, that opportunity. And then I'm going to pray for all of us. And I'm going to give some silence in that prayer time for you to say, God, this is my holy moment, and I'm going to obey you in this area by doing, and you fill in the blank. Let's pray. God, we thank you so much for your love and your care for us. We thank you that you call us to follow you, not because you have a list of rules for us, but you want a relationship. And I believe, Lord, there may be someone here in the room or joining us online today that has never put their trust in you and have decided to follow you. So if that's you, you can do that very simply by taking these words that I'm going to suggest and putting them in your own words back to God. So here we go. Here's the first phrase. Dear God, I believe in Jesus. I believe that Jesus died to pay the price for my sins. And so today I ask for forgiveness for my sins. And I know that Jesus rose again from the dead. And today I commit to following him. So Lord, help me do that. And as we say amen to that prayer, Lord, you've called us all to follow you. And each one of us probably has a place where there's some place we need to ask for you to help us to follow you obediently. And I believe that there's a lot of holy moments that are going to take place today. And so this is just a time where I'm going to open it up for you to pray silently to the Lord about being obedient to him. So go ahead and pray silently. Father, these are huge steps. I pray that you would encourage every single person who took that step to be obedient to you in some area of their life today, that you would surround them with fellow Christ followers who can encourage them. And I pray that you would encourage them through you, the power of your Spirit. And we give this to you in Jesus' name. Amen.